Welcome to Living Waters Church, a community with Jesus at the center, shaped by scripture, dependent on his spirit, following together. For more resources, information, and news, check out our website, lwchurch.ca, and get connected.
Hi friends, my name is Dave. I'm on the ministry team here at Living Waters and so happy to be sharing with you. It's a new season. And as I was driving here today, I was noticing many families are getting their kids off to school, some for the first time. What a new season we have and so much to be thankful for. I trust that as we find our way, not just with the changing weather of a new season, but there'd be your life would be enlivened by the life and love of Jesus. He walks with us. He's with us. These are good days that we have in front of us. Well, we're beginning a very brief September series that's called You Are. Today, you are welcome. You are loved and you are filled. I'm happy to be reminding us today that you are welcome. In many Western countries, a firm handshake with eye contact or sometimes even a simple fist pump is considered a warm, respectable greeting and welcome. But in other places in the world, they may not be the chosen kind gestures. Perhaps some of you who are a little more well-traveled than me would have some input to this, but from some of the readings that I've done recently, I've come up with some of these gestures from around the world, and I've learned that in Africa, a very common warm gesture is clapping. When someone you are greeting and welcoming, you just simply clap. I've noted that in Asia, you put your hand on your heart, or perhaps you bow, or in one country, I've even heard that you actually stick out your tongue, and that would be referencing a very warm and personal gesture. You are welcome. That's an odd one. That's a different one. In some Arabic countries, we hear that you actually touch noses. You bump your noses as a sign of cordial gesture and welcome. In Europe, it's the famous air kiss on the cheek. When we were living in Montreal, I know all about that air cheek, that air kiss on the side of the cheek. Actually, in France, it's sometimes even four times you go back and forth and however that works. In South Pacific, perhaps you press your cheeks together, get this one, and you take a deep breath as a part of a traditional receiving of the person. You receive the smell and the warmth and the aroma of the person that is now with you. That's an interesting one. Well, this month at Living Waters, we may not bump your nose. We may not stick out our tongue. We may not sniff you. But we want you to know that you're welcome. We want you to know that you are welcome. And we will do our best, perhaps with a handshake or a hug or a fist pump. But regardless of the physical gesture, we want you to know that you're welcome. Our value of community includes the exact words, as a diverse group of people welcomed by Jesus, we always want to make room at the table because Jesus invites everyone. So our Living Waters vision and imagination for welcome begins with Jesus. And this welcome is on full display as we read the parable of the wedding banquet, where this is more than an invitation to eat together. This is a welcome that consistently Jesus gets right. So let's read our passage today. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet, and he invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, I just got married. I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servants, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Verse 23, then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet. You will notice in the reading of these verses that Jesus is telling a parable. He's using a simple, relatable story to illustrate a moral and or a spiritual lesson. So to the audience, how is this relatable? As we consider the relevance of this, we learn that what perhaps lies behind this parable is an ancient Jewish custom. When a wealthy person was preparing a major feast, the banquet, there were two invitations given. The first invitation of welcome went out to the guests whom the host prioritized. These invited guests would then give their RSVP, presumably in most cases, to attend. It was quite an honor. To be invited to a feast as this was a privilege and an honor. And of course, so many people said, count me in. So when the meal was prepared and the time was at hand to serve the meal, those who had accepted the first invitation would be notified that the time had come for the feast to begin. And after receiving the second invitation, they would then come and participate. Seems like a very simple story. But again, what is the moral and spiritual lesson in behind this? Well, to understand this, we would look a little closer at who's with Jesus when this story is being shared. Jesus shared this parable while at the home of a prominent Pharisee, our scriptures say. This prominent Pharisee was likely a wealthy and powerful, highly cultured man surrounded by the saint. So we can imagine that those listening would have quickly grasped the meaning of the parable. They were learned in Jewish tradition and the law. Easy perhaps for them to hear and see and appreciate that the kingdom of God was being described by Jesus, using the imagery of a great banquet, perhaps, which was a picture well known to the Jews of the age. They quite possibly would have known that the giver of the feast was God. The gathering or the dinner would represent perhaps the gathering in heaven, and the many perhaps was Israel, representing the long line of generations of chosen people, or this perhaps the story of the Jewish people all found in the Old Testament, of which they were chosen. So I think we can safely say that upon first hearing this from Jesus, it to those prominent Pharisees and his guests, perhaps it might have seemed at first hearing to feel quite collegial. They were part of the invited. They were a part of the upper echelon. They had been invited with a priority, the first to be invited. As we listen to Jesus share the parable, we realize that perhaps the point is not who is invited or who's in the boys' club. The point of the parable is what the invited had actually done with their invitation. Even more so, did they attend the banquet? And the answer that we read in the parable is actually no. So again, we would firm up here, what matters in this parable is not who's invited. What matters as we appreciate the entire narrative of the parable is who's accepting the invitation. For the invitation, we know, was to come. And we read in verses 18 to 20 how with one consent they began to decline. They began to make excuses. As we familiarize ourselves with the three categorical excuses, perhaps, or reasons why they were not able to come, we realize that this does not exhaust all possible cases. They simply represent examples of usual everyday cause of indifference to the kingdom of God. Bought a field, I have to go see it. I bought 5 yoke of oxen, I've got to go try them out. I've just got married. To all these excuses, one thing is common. And each a present good is esteemed above the heavenly offer. In other words, temporal good is valued more than spiritual good. The fact was, the invited were pleased to be invited, but there the matter ended with them. The banquet, which they were proud to have been asked to attend, had no influence on their everyday lives. They made their arrangements for pleasure and for business without the least regard to the day or the hour of the banquet. Indeed, they treated it with obvious indifference. No one is represented here as saying, "I will not come." All the answers imply that, but for certain things, they would come, and when things are tended to, then they will come. A bit of indifference. So, again, parable. What does the master holding the banquet do in this parable? Well, verse 21, after hearing of their indifference, verse 21, he ordered his servants, "Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, and the blind, and the lame." The master responds in a way that perhaps represents the love that Jesus was demonstrating as he was on earth and still holding out to people today. In the framework of the parable, this second invitation points perhaps to a lower class of the population of an Eastern country, to the tramps, the squatters who had no home, who were perhaps content to sleep on the street at a shelter or out in the wilderness. Scholars suggest that perhaps this represents, again, not the prominent Pharisee, but the broader Gentile population. But notice, upon hearing the invitation from the master's servants, when they hear their invitation, they come. What a beautiful example. What a contrast that Jesus is bringing to the audience and to us. What happens in verse 22? "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there is still room." There's still room. The servants went out and invited all they could find in the streets, in the alleys, and yet the table was still not full. There was still room. There's still room. What a glorious declaration that helps us get a little closer to the heart of Jesus. There's still room. Let's zoom out. There's room. There's room at the table. Over the course of history, so many have heard and respond to the gospel, and there's still room for more. Millions have said yes to Jesus and have been saved, yet there's still room at the table. I've been thinking about this passage for quite some time, and through recently our river baptism Sunday, as I was listening to those being baptized share their story and hearing from the younger to the ones that were a little older, there's still room for children. There's still room for teens. There's still room for adults. There's still room for older adults. Regardless of age, there's still room. That's such good news. As I was standing in the Fraser River, what a joy to be up close and personal to those that have recently found their place in the kingdom of God. Why is it possible? Because there's still room. there's still room. One commentator says, millions have been invited and have come and have even gone on to heaven, but heaven is not full yet. There is a banquet there which no number can exhaust. There are fountains which no number can drink dry. There are harps there which other hands may strike, and there are seats there which others may occupy. Heaven is not full. Heaven is not full. So the children's worker can say to their class, there's room. And the youth leader and the young adult leader, the same. A parent can say to their child, there's still room. And we can go all around locally and globally carrying this message to all people. There is still room. What a sad message it would be if we were compelled to go and say, there's no more room. Heaven's full. Not another one can be saved. No matter what the prayer or the tragedy, they cannot be saved. Every place is filled. Every seat is occupied and accounted for. But thanks to God, that is not the message. The message from the parable, the message from the heart of Jesus to us today is fill up the room. Fill up the room. It's worded this way in verse 23, the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet. The master says, compel them to come that my house may be full. It's obvious that we cannot introduce space limits into the interpretation of this parable. The gates of the Father's house are open forevermore, and in it are many mansions. There is and ever will be room for all who will choose to come. Well, what about us today? While this parable points to invitations, obviously, for eternal life, what about our earthly life? What about the here and now? What about the welcome that Jesus gives us for our time on earth now and this new season, this new chapter at Living Waters Church? Jesus, a present Savior, a healer, a helper, a deliverer, a teacher, a counselor, our comforter, he today invites us to come as well. For what? For what reason? And for what benefit? What is the invitation? What is the welcome that Jesus has for us outside of eternity? What about the here and now? There's three things. First, my hope today is that you would hear an invitation to come and receive rest. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Perhaps the Spirit is saying to us today, you're welcome. Come and receive rest. At one of the busiest times in our calendar year, the beginning of September, Jesus says, I invite you to rest. Rest is not the absence of activity. Rest is a spiritual matter that's tied to a healthy relationship with Jesus. Billy Graham's worded it this way once. Since the early dawn of mankind's history, when our Eden of bliss became a desert of discord, we have become creatures of restlessness. When we are bereft of the peace that comes from God through the saving grace of Christ, we become fish out of water. This changeable, unsettled, roving, transient, sleepless and fidgety spirit is due primarily to the restlessness of the human heart and its separation from the Christ of tranquility and peace. I feel strongly in my heart that a message for our community is you're welcome to receive rest. Receive rest. Rest from striving. Rest from striving. The word that Jesus uses here, where in verse 28, He offers rest. The word rest is the image of labor, to rest from labor. Most specifically, perhaps the example of a woman in labor and all the striving and all the push and all the pain. Jesus says, in the midst today, man, woman, boy, young person, in the midst of your labor, rest, rest. God is with you, and you are welcome to receive rest. Today, God invites you to receive rest. Secondly, this invitation of welcome is of course, to follow Jesus. In the midst of all the decision-making in September, in the midst of all the sign-ups, in the midst of all the scheduling resets, at the center, there's rest, and there's also the reset of following Jesus. The invitation in Mark chapter 1 is to follow Jesus. You are welcome to follow Jesus into these good days that are ahead. Billy Graham again once said, people want adventure and excitement, but they want more. They want something to believe in, a cause to give themselves to, a flag to follow. The only cause that's big enough for the human heart is the cause of Christ, and its flag is the bloody stained body that was lifted on the cross of Calvary for the redemption of the world. May I remind you of Jesus' invitation to you. His welcome is to, hey, come follow me. Come follow me. It's the most thrilling adventure ever to come to mankind. Again, the imagination of being a partner, a working partner with God in the redemption of the world. Jesus says, you're welcome. Come and be a follower of me. I will get you to places that you will never get to yourself. Finally, the invitation to live in the realm of God. You're welcome to live in the realm of God. Jesus said in John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. Personal salvation is not an occasional rendezvous with deity. It's an actual dwelling with God. Christianity is not just an avocation. It's a lifelong, eternity-long relationship and vocation. It's to appreciate the presence of God. And I invite you today, you are welcome for rest and for a reset towards following Jesus. And of course, to abide in Christ. Psalm 91:1 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If you read and reread this beautiful psalm, we discover that in Christ we have a permanent abode, a permanent residence in relationship. All the comfort, security, and affection that the human heart craves is found in Jesus. There's security, affection, significance. It's found in Christ, and you are welcome. You are welcome to that, abiding in Christ. So as we've seen in this parable, the invitation of Christ is not so much about the invitation, because as we walk through the entirety of that parable, we realize that everybody's invited. The key and the important thing that Jesus is highlighting is, will you accept the invitation of Jesus to come? You're welcome. You're welcome to come. And in your coming, I believe you'll receive rest, much needed rest, much needed direction as you follow someone. And of course, a must-needed place for life, which is abiding in Christ. And our prayer for ourselves, our prayer for one another this week is that you would hear your invitation beyond perhaps the busyness of your life, beyond the cares of this world, beyond any guilt or doubt you have in your heart, perhaps beyond any familiarity that says, oh, here we go again, or perhaps any fear that you would be carrying into this season. You're welcome, friend. You're welcome. You're welcome to come along with us as a community, as we seek this new season to rest in Christ, to follow Christ, and to abide in Christ. Come along with us. We're not always going to get it right, but perhaps as we move along, it will be the best way forward as we serve and follow Christ together. Come to the party. Come to the banquet. And realize that Jesus has so much prepared for you, for you, for you. Let's pray. Father, today we so thank you for your welcome. Your welcome. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are reminding us of our welcome and you're wanting to give us all faith to come. And Lord, we do pray for we pray for ourselves today. We pray for one another today. We pray that this very day would be a day when we would not just know of your invitation for all of us, but we'd actually come. We'd actually respond to that invitation. Lord, you're with us today, and we thank you so much for this. We thank you that you offer us eternal life. You offer us rest. You offer us a relationship, someone to follow, and you offer us the realization that you want us to abide with you. You want us to know you personally. And we pray for as we gather today, we pray for that one that would be so needing to accept you as Lord and Savior. May for that one today, may grace and mercy be received as they open their heart to you and get moving along in that blessed relationship that you want for all. Lord, renew us. May this be a good season for us individually and us as families and as a broader community as we lean in, Lord, to all that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for joining us today. It's nice to study God's word together. We always appreciate correspondence. We always appreciate, that second conversation. If you head over to our website, you'll find, if you browse around in there, you'll find the names and faces of our ministry team here at Living Waters Church. And I know I can speak for everyone on that page. We'd love to walk with you this season. We'd love to know what's up. We'd love to help you get more connected in those places where you can get built up as a person. You can get encouraged as a person. You can find community. We'd love to come alongside you. So I'd just say that in closing and put that out there, that invitation. And again, we do sense that there's such good days ahead. Come along with us. It's going to be a good new season. God bless you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to get more connected or involved in any way, please reach out. We'd love to help. Have a great week.